This is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Later on, the Reverend Dr. Barber on Building Bridges, unifying the progressive movement for social change. But first,
Jews for racial and economic justice and workers from the prominent B&H photo video store stood together at the mega digital device store to demand B&H management end their retaliation against workers and sign a contract that allows for humane and lawful working conditions.
More than 200 rabbis and other members of the Jewish faith-based leadership structure pledged their support for the labor rights of B&H workers. After a year of the B&H workers aligning themselves with a community-based worker advocacy group known as the Laundry Workers Center, B&H warehouse workers formed a union at B&H Photo Video to end discrimination against Latinos and remedy the horrible and dangerous conditions they face.
But that isn't the end of the story. While the workers have been in negotiations for a fair contract to put a stop to these conditions, they have been reporting retaliation, harassment, and intimidation from the company. Even worse, B&H Photo has illegally fired three workers, all leaders in the fight for justice at the warehouses. Workers have put everything on the line, demanding to be treated as human beings. And we must continue to step up and stand with them. So let's do that right now.
Union, fuerza, solidaridad. Union, fuerza, solidaridad.
Buenos días.
Buenos días.
My name is Susanna Dyett, and I'm a member of Jews for Racial and Economic Justice. We are here in support of the workers of B&H who are unionizing and working for their first union contract. We demand an end to all forms of retaliation against workers who are organizing. No more firings, no more harsh punishments, no more discrimination. An end to dangerous working conditions. We have been in partnership with the Laundry Workers Center since October, when the workers came out to announce their desire to form a union. We are here today because we have a letter signed by 225 Jewish leaders. Woo! Yeah, that's right! That letter states that we are counting on B&H photo and video owners and management to sign a good contract with warehouse workers that creates a safe and equitable workplace. The letter contains a diverse group of Jewish leaders. We have Orthodox, Humanists, Conservative, Reform, Reconstructionists, from educational institutions, from nonprofits, and from congregations of worship. The workers are organizing for dignified and humane working conditions. Our Jewish values state that all human life is sacred and that work should be a means of granting dignity to the worker. Improving working conditions at B&H warehouses upholds the sacredness of the lives of the workers and their right to work in dignity. Jews have long been involved in the labor movement, both in this country and before we emigrated. My great-grandmother, in what was then Russia, was organizing for workers' rights in her village. This fight for better conditions caused her to flee for her life and come to this country. I'm here today living my Jewish values just as my great-grandmother did. When I answer the question, which side are you on? I'm on the workers' side. And so I ask you here today, which side are you on?
The workers!
Today we will hear from the Laundry Workers Center, from workers who have endured retaliation, and from Jewish leaders who signed the letters. Yeah, and I'm turning it over to Rosanna Rodriguez from the Laundry Workers Center.
Woo!
Woo! You feel the power?
Yeah!
Workers' power!
Workers' power!
We're standing on behalf of the B&H workers there, demanding to the company respect and dignity for a better future. They have the right to organize, and the company at B&H, they have to respect the workers.
Yes.
Laundry Workers Center have empowered the workers since 2014. We're gonna be side with the workers because they deserve a better life. Workers power, people power.
Workers power, people power.
I want to turn out to the workers so they can say that your stories and what happened inside the workplace, the retaliation, the intimidation campaign that B&H is carrying on right now. We are demanding they stop that. I want to introduce Ricardo Ramirez, Marilio Ortega, Jose Rosendo, and Maurilio Ortega.
Hello, buenos días.
Buenos días.
Mi nombre es Ricardo Ramirez. Soy trabajador de
VIH. Desgraciadamente, hace unos pocos días me dieron la noticia de que fui despedido de la compañía.
My name is Ricardo and I received recent news that I was fired from the company.
Ahora necesito el apoyo de ustedes, de la compañía, del compañero como compañeros para poder retornar al trabajo. Saben que pues yo soy un padre de familia, tengo hijos, tengo un hogar y pues desgraciadamente necesito trabajo.
Now I'm asking for a community support. I am a father of children, I have a family to support. I'm asking for your help in order to get my job back.
Yo he estado ya casi 4 meses afuera de la compañía. No he recibido un sueldo, no he recibido un cheque para sostener a mi familia. Fui despedido justamente.
I've gone 4 months now without a paycheck and without any money to support my family. Sí. And I was fired unjustly.
Igual que yo, hay otros compañeros que también han sido despedidos injustamente por la misma compañía.
And there are other coworkers as well who have been fired unjustly.
Entonces, pues yo les pido, ¿verdad?, un apoyo para que podamos nosotros, nuestros compañeros, regresar a la compañía a trabajar otra vez.
And now I'm asking for the community support in order to get myself and other of my coworkers back to work.
Buenos días, yo soy Juan Rosendo.
My name is Juan.
Trabajé hace como 8 años en esa compañía y con tanta presión que daban, me tuve que buscar otro trabajo mejor porque estaban haciendo mucha presión.
I worked at the company for 8 years. There was too much pressure and I had to leave it because of all the pressure that they gave me.
Ahora lo que yo pido es que todos mis compañeros que están trabajando ahí les rindan un buen respeto y buen estado del trabajo y del ambiente.
I demand that the company treats my coworkers with respect and that the workers can work with dignity.
A todos esos compañeros diariamente que trabajan muy duro y quiero que los traten muy bien como ser humano, a todos.
And I know my coworkers work really hard every day. I just want the company to treat them with respect to everybody.
Shame on the company.
Muchas gracias. Shame. A todos.
Buenos días a todos. Mi nombre es Maurilio Basurto.
My name is Maurilio Basurto.
Yo también fui como despedido de la compañía BH.
I was also fired from the B&H company.
Allá llevo una mes y medio, no tengo trabajo.
I've been out of work for a month and a half now.
Como quiero, como su apoyo de ustedes, como puedan regresar a trabajar.
And with the help and support of all of you, I'm hoping I can get back to work.
Muchas gracias.
Unión, fuerza, solidaridad. Unión, fuerza, solidaridad.
Unión, fuerza. And now I'm going to call up Rabbi Guy Ostrian, a J-Bridge member and a signatory to the letter from Jewish leaders. Come on up, guys. Rabbi Guy.
My name is Rabbi Guy Ostrian. I serve as the rabbi of the Fort Tryon Jewish Center in Washington Heights and Inwood. Ribono shel Olam, guiding power of the universe, we ask your support today. Help us to feel your presence on this day. Help us to live according to your commandments. Help us to recognize that when workers are fired from their jobs without cause, God, you hear. When workers are exploited for cheap profits, God, you hear. When workers are exposed to unsafe working conditions and hazardous chemicals, God, you hear. When all people are treated without the respect and the dignity that is due to them, God, you hear. You've taught us that all people are creations in your image, that all people are deserving of respect and dignity in the workplace. We pray to you for parnasah bechavod, for a livelihood with dignity, for those of us who work, for those of us who employ others. When we look into the faces of these workers, we see people who suffer, who have been humiliated, who haven't been able to support their families. And we see people who are fighting for their dignity, standing up with respect for justice. Give strength to these workers in their long struggle for justice, dignity, and respect. Give strength to the management and owners at B&H to come back to your path, to come back to your law, to stop the firing of workers, to negotiate a contract with the union, stop the retaliation, and to bring about a situation of livelihood with dignity and respect for all, for workers and management in partnership. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm with Ricardo Ramirez, who's one of the fired workers. Now we're going to find out more about what's happening behind the doors in B&H.
Ricardo, where do you work and what are the conditions?
Bueno, yo estaba trabajando para esta compañía de VIH.
So I was working for B&H Company.
Pero bueno, yo tuve ahí, desgraciadamente, yo tuve un accidente ahí en la compañía, en el trabajo, en la compañía.
But unfortunately, I suffered an injury while working with the company.
Y ahorita pues no estoy trabajando, ¿verdad? Y la compañía supuestamente me mandó una carta diciéndome que yo estoy despedido de VIH.
The company sent me a letter telling me that I was fired.
What was the injury?
Bueno, eso yo empecé con un dolorcito de noviembre, diciembre y enero. El 2 de marzo ya fue definitivamente que ya no pude aguantar más el dolor y bueno, la fractura fue acá en el cuello.
So it started with a small pain around November, September time in the back of my neck, and then by March 2nd I couldn't tolerate the pain anymore.
What exactly was your job?
Bueno, mi trabajo era trabajar en shipping.
He was part of the shipping department. ¿Pero qué es lo que haces ahí?
Y mi trabajo era separar el, ¿cómo se dice? El material que viene de afuera y separarlo para el compañero mío, el otro, era que escaneaba el trabajo.
So my job was to separate all the merchandise that would come into the warehouse, and my coworker is the one that scans the merchandise.
So did you ask the company for workers' comp?
No, porque la compañía me dio tres pagos nada más, y de ahí me canceló todo y pues ya no.
So the company actually paid him 3 weeks of workers' comp, and after those 3 weeks, they just decided to fire him. So he received it for 3 weeks because he was injured at work. And then after those 3 weeks, they sent him a letter saying that he was fired.
Is the union trying to rectify the situation?
Supuestamente está trabajando porque ellos me pidieron el récord médico, pero hasta ahorita por parte de la unión yo no he recibido ninguna respuesta.
So supposedly the union is working on this case because they asked him for all his clinical paperwork, but to now he hasn't received an answer from the union.
There are a number of other workers who are fired also. And they've been fired for similar reasons or for other reasons.
La verdad es, pues yo no podía darle exactamente la razón porque mi caso me pasó en marzo y ellos fueron como un mes después. Y bueno, pero yo tengo entendido que bueno son casos diferentes.
He can't speak to their cases, but he knows that they happen after his, and then he's heard that they're similar. Pero le puedes explicar la importancia de que ustedes son líderes de que están organizando. So I'm asking him to elaborate on the fact that all the workers that have been fired are leaders. They've been leading this campaign, they've been pushing this campaign, so that's important to note when we talk about retaliation.
Thank you.
So habla de las represalias, porque tú eres un líder, tú estabas...
No, claro. No, sí, claro, bueno, nosotros, pues somos como, tenemos mucha presión en el trabajo, somos más que nada uno de discriminación, tenemos malos tratos ahí en el trabajo, muchas nos forzan a trabajar muchas horas, y no respetan nuestra dignidad como trabajador.
So as leaders, we've been speaking out about a lot of things that happen in the warehouse. Discrimination, they make us work extra hours, and if we don't work those hours, they get threatened to be fired. There's a lot of discrimination that happens. They treat them inhumanely. ¿Qué más, compañero?
Entonces no hay un trato justo entre los trabajadores. Hay diferencia de color en el trabajo y pues es un problema contra nosotros los hispanos en el trabajo. Entonces nosotros por eso queremos estamos negociando el contrato de la unión para que nos respeten como seres humanos que somos, un trabajo digno, un salario justo y tener unas vacaciones que nos merecemos.
He's saying that that's why they're organizing, because in the workplace at B&H there's a lot of discrimination around the lines of color. People of color are treated badly. The working conditions are bad, and that's why they're organizing to demand a just pay and humane working conditions, paid vacations, all the things that are right for every worker. They're fighting for them because they don't get them as Hispanic people, as people of color.
How many workers are we talking about, and are other workers doing other types of jobs?
Bueno, sí, son un poco diferentes porque mi trabajo es cargar mercancía de 40, 60, 70, 80 libras, 90 libras solo. Entonces, los demás es un trabajo diferente porque hay que escanean el trabajo, o sea, no cargan el trabajo como yo lo cargo. Ellos hacen otro tipo de trabajo.
So our work is different in that we have to carry up to 90 pounds by ourselves with no help, while members of the other community do jobs that are easy, like scanning. they get heavier, more dangerous work compared to the other employees.
Ask if there's anything else he wants to say.
Que nosotros estamos luchando por esto de que regresemos todos nosotros, los compañeros que estamos afuera de la compañía, regresemos a trabajar. Bueno, y justo lo mío, pues en cuanto yo me recupere, me siente que mi doctor me diga, ya puedo ir a trabajar, pues yo estoy dispuesto a trabajar. Porque ahorita pues yo no puedo. Entonces la compañía, mi doctor me dio un papel donde me dijo que no puedo levantar más de 20 libras de peso. La compañía no aceptó el papel, dice que ahí no hay trabajo de eso, ¿me entiendes? Entonces no puedo trabajar.
They're fighting and demanding that the workers get their jobs back because they were fired unjustly. And for him, for his case, since he's hurt now, but there's other jobs that he can do inside the company. He sent the company a letter saying that he can lift up to 20 pounds, but they're saying that they don't have any jobs in there that he can do that would have him carry less than 20 pounds, but there is jobs that way. But he's saying that they're going to keep organizing and fighting so that the workers get their jobs back.
We certainly hope that you do get your job back. We certainly hope that the union negotiations will go forward and you'll have a good contract soon.
Okay. Muchas gracias.
Speaking with Ricardo Ramirez, who is fired from B&H Warehouse, 105 Evergreen in Brooklyn. Thank you very much. And thanks to Claudia Palacio for excellent translation and also being a co-reporter in the sequence. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Reverend William Barber II, the architect of the Moral Monday movement, tore the house down at the Democratic National Convention on a night where progressive leaders from across the country came together to pitch programs. The Reverend Dr. Barber and his message of moral courage and social justice stole the spotlight when he brought us together in pursuit of a movement for social justice for all.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I come before you tonight as a preacher, a son of a preacher immersed in the movement at 5 years old. I don't come tonight representing any organization, but I come to talk about faith and morality. I'm a preacher and I'm a theologically conservative liberal evangelical biblicist. I know it may sound strange, but I'm a conservative because I work to conserve a divine tradition that teaches us to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. I've had the privilege of traveling the country with the Reverend Dr. James Forbes and Reverend Dr. Tracy Blackman and Sister Simone Campbell, as we are working together in the revival and calling for a moral revolution of values. And as we travel the country and we see some things, that's why I'm so concerned about those that say so much about what God says so little, while saying so little about what God says so much. And so, in my heart, I'm troubled and I'm worried by the way faith is cynically used by some to serve hate, fear, racism, and greed. We need to heed the voice of the scriptures. We need to listen to the ancient chorus in which deep calls unto deep. The prophet Isaiah cries out, "What I'm interested in seeing you doing," says the Lord, "as a nation is, pay people what they deserve. Share your food with the hungry. Do this, and then your nation shall be called a repairer of the breach." Jesus, a brown-skinned Palestinian Jew, called us to preach good news to the poor, the broken, and the bruised, and all those who were made to feel unaccepted. Our Constitution calls us to commit our government to establish justice, to promote the general welfare, to provide for the common defense, and to ensure domestic tranquility. Now, to be true, we have never lived this vision perfectly, but this ought to be the goal at the heart of our democracy. And when religion is used to camouflage meanness, we know that we have a heart problem in America. There have always been forces that wanted to harden, even stop the heart of our democracy. But there have also always been people who stood together to stir what Sister Dorothy Day called a revolution of the heart, and what Dr. King called a radical revolution of values. I say to you tonight that some issues are not left versus right or liberal versus conservative. They are right versus wrong. We need to embrace our deepest moral values and push for a revival of the heart of our democracy. When we fight to reinstate the power of the Voting Rights Act, and we break the interposition and nullification of the current Congress, we in the South especially know that when we do that, we are reviving the heart of our democracy. When we fight for 15 and a union, and universal health care, and public education, and immigrant rights, and LGBTQ rights, we are reviving the heart of our democracy. When we develop tax and trade policies that no longer funnel our prosperity to the wealthy few, we are reviving the heart of our democracy. When we hear the legitimate discontent of Black Lives Matter and we come together to renew justice in our criminal justice system, we are embracing our deepest moral values and reviving the heart of our democracy. When we love the Jewish child and the Palestinian child, the Muslim and the Christian and the Hindu and the Buddhist, and those who have no faith, but they love this nation. We are reviving the heart of our democracy. When we fight for peace, and when we resist the proliferation of military-style weapons on our streets, and when we stand against the anti-democratic stronghold of the NRA, we are reviving the heart of our democracy. In times like these, we have to make some decisions. And I might not normally be here as a preacher and an individual, but when I hear Hillary's voices and positions, I hear and I know that she is working to embrace our deepest moral values, and we should embrace her. But let me be clear that she nor any person can do it alone. The watchword of this democracy and the watchword of faith is we. The heart of our democracy is on the line this November and beyond. Now, my friends, they tell me that when the heart is in danger, somebody has to call an emergency code. And somebody with a good heart will bring a defibrillator to work on a bad heart. Because it's